Hello and welcome to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. And again, as always, I urge you to go to my website for all the messages that I've done, almost 100 so far, and that's PastorVicsNuggets.com. I'm also available on YouTube and, of course, on Facebook, as well as Instagram, by the way. In any case, I want to talk to you today about a very important subject, and that is, what is our perspective of our life? I want you to think about, what is the most important thing or the most valued possession that you have? And it's probably some material thing. It may be your home, it may be your if you have a car, it may be a car, it may be your finances, it may be something that was given to you as a gift. But no matter what it is, let me tell you something, and I know you realize this, and that is that one day it will all pass away. It's all what the word, what the Bible calls temporal. It will only last for our lifetime. And once our life is gone, it will pass away. And so when it really comes down to it, the most important thing that we possess, of course, is our life. But the Bible says that even our life is temporal. In other words, that it has a beginning, it has a middle, and then it has an end. But what if I were to tell you that God has promised you something that will last for eternity? There was a missionary by the name of Jim Elliot, and he was martyred at the age of 29 back in 1956 as he was trying to spread the gospel among the people of Ecuador in South America. But he made a very, very profound statement. And this is what he said. He said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." In other words, he was talking about trading what you can't keep for something that you can't lose. And of course, what we're talking about is the idea or the principle of salvation. We're talking about exchanging the natural life of the flesh for the supernatural life of the spirit. It's a decision that we have to make. Giving up the life that is controlled by the flesh, the desires of the flesh, in order to accept the life that is controlled by the Holy Spirit. And so how do we get to that place? It's one thing to understand this inside of our heads intellectually, but it's another thing to make a decision to live life, the supernatural life. And the first thing I think that's important to understand is that your faith has to be in the fact that you're not, now listen to this, you're not a human being having a spiritual experience. I talk to people all the time and they talk about, you know, I'm having this spiritual experience with God. Well, listen, you're not a human being having a spiritual experience, but you are a spiritual being having a human experience called life on earth. That human experience will come to an end. Now, a Christian is one who has been born again, or another term is born from above. That's the literal translation of that word from John chapter 3. Now, this born again of the Spirit is very different from the natural birth that every one of us experience as we are born through our mothers. Now listen to what John says in John chapter 3 as he speaks to a man by the name of Nicodemus. Now Nicodemus was a very learned Pharisee, but yet there was something about Jesus that drew him to him. And so here we've been beginning in John chapter 3, verse 1. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.'" In other words, what Nicodemus saw, he saw the miracles. He saw the scriptures being unfolded to him like it had never been done before. And this is how Jesus answers. He says to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is where Jesus is. You see, wherever there's a kingdom, there has to be a king. And we know that Jesus is our king. So when we talk about the kingdom of God, what we're talking about is the influence and the impact of Jesus upon this earth. And the way that Jesus moves upon this earth is through his Holy Spirit. And then verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old?" In other words, he was thinking strictly in a physical sense. He goes on to say, "Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus, I'm sure he must have smiled at this, because he goes on to say, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water," that is the natural birth, as you all know, when we're born in water. And then he says, "and the Spirit." So we're born of water and the Spirit. That person cannot enter the kingdom of God. In other words, unless you're born, you're naturally alive, and you're born again of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And that is where Jesus is present. Then Jesus goes on to say, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh." It's natural. That's the temporal part. That's the part that will not last. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You see, what's born of the Spirit is eternal. Then he goes on to say, "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." In other words, Nicodemus didn't quite get what he was talking about. Nicodemus wanted to see something in the natural. He wanted to experience something in the very natural sense. But he says, "Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Being born again, being born of the Spirit is the first step in that exchange, the idea that you're giving up something that you can't keep in order to gain something that you can't lose. Now, why is this born again event so important? Well, it opens the door to spiritual communication with God. You see, the natural man, and by natural I mean the one who is not born again, cannot comprehend the things of God. Let me give you a quick example. When I was a college student, I was required to take a course in the Bible. And I was not born again, and so I was an atheist. I was a non-believer. And when I read the Bible, I have to tell you the truth, I thought it was just fairy tales, just nonsense. It did not make any sense to me. And then a number of years later, I received Jesus into my life and I was born again. Now, when I began to read the Bible then, all of a sudden, the Bible came alive to me. And it was clear that it was speaking to me. It had power and authority, and I was moved by the words that were on the page. But the difference is that because I was born again, I had spiritual eyes to see, spiritual ears to hear, and a spiritual mind to comprehend, because the Holy Spirit came to live in me as he comes to live in every believer. And so, opening up the doors of communication, I want to bring your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. And here in this section of scripture, it's very clear that God wants to communicate, and he communicates by his Spirit. It's not just an intellectual understanding with your mind, but it is an understanding or a comprehending of the Spirit. So beginning in verse 9, the Apostle Paul writes, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Those that love him, of course, obey him. Then verse 10 says, "But God has revealed them to us." Let me say that again. God has revealed the mind of God to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, even the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? And that's an example. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. And here's verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world of the flesh, but we have received the spirit who is from God. Why? That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And then Paul goes on to write, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, see that's intellect, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with the spiritual. But now the natural man, the person who is not born again, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You have to be spiritual in order to discern spiritual things. When you are born again, God's Holy Spirit comes to live within you, and now the door of communication is open between you and with him. Verse 15 says, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? In other words, no one can instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. You see, the Holy Spirit reveals. And, you know, I'm reminded of the scripture in John chapter 16, verse 13. And that's where the Holy Spirit reveals what Jesus said and what he is saying. Let me bring you to that. John 16, beginning in verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Remember, Jesus was consoling his disciples. He was telling him that I must go in order that the Comforter, the Helper, the one who comes aside will come to you. And then he says about the Comforter, about the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. He will glorify me, this is Jesus speaking, for he will take of what is mine, Jesus, and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. You know, I just want to remind you that the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are one. And that's why Jesus could say, whatever the Father has is mine, and I share it with you, but the way that I share it with you is through my Holy Spirit who lives in you. I'll tell you, that's exciting. But it takes a change in the mindset. So often we're trying to understand things with our minds, and we need to recognize that there are some things that can only be understood, comprehended, by the Spirit. Now, how does Jesus speak to us through the Holy Spirit? Well, obviously the first method is through the Bible or the Word. I think reading the Word of God is so important. Whether you read much or you read little, you must begin to go in and delve into the Word of God. And I would encourage you, if you're new to reading the Bible, I would encourage you to begin in the New Testament first, and then go to the Old Testament and read that. But another way that Jesus speaks to us through the Spirit, now let me back up and say this, is that what we need to recognize is that the Bible is not a man-written book. It is a book that is inspired. It is God-breathed into authors that put down what God intended and what God wanted. In other words, the Holy Spirit is truly the author of the Bible, the Word of God. But another way that we can receive direction and the Holy Spirit can speak to us is, of course, through teaching and the preaching of the Word. Many times in my life, I've heard teaching and I've heard preaching that impacted me. It was as if God were speaking to me through that pastor or through that teacher. And I'm sure you've experienced the same thing. That's not just human understanding. It is God speaking to you through his Spirit. And probably the third way I would say is that God will speak to us through the circumstances of life. God will order things. God will put things in place. And as we begin to walk in it and walk through it, it opens up other doors of opportunity. Now, one thing that all three of these areas will do, or have in common, I should say, that is the Word of God, that is through biblical teaching and preaching, and through the circumstances of life that are ordered by God, is that they all bring to memory the Word of God. And that's why it's so important to be in the Bible in the first place, because they will bring to memory the things that you have been taught by the Spirit. And as God brings those things back to our memory, as Jesus is bringing those things back to our memory through the Holy Spirit, then we have to make a decision. We have to decide to act. If we love Jesus, Jesus says, "You will obey my commandments." And so I want to encourage you this day to realize that God is speaking to us all of the time. And the more that we know what's in the Word of God, the more we know what's in the Bible, the greater the ability the Holy Spirit has to bring truth to us that is meat and not milk, which is profound and deep and not just superficial and on the surface. Listen, God loves you. And because he loves you, he's made a way that you might live eternally, that you would exchange, that you would give up that which you can't keep, that's your life, in exchange for something that you can't lose. And that is eternal life with Jesus Christ. And so let me encourage you this day to make a decision. Make a decision to receive all that Jesus has for you. Make the decision to receive all that he provided at the cross of Calvary. Make a decision that you are not simply a human being having a spiritual experience on a Sunday morning, but you are a spiritual being and you're having a human existence. That human existence one day will come to an end, but your spiritual life with God will last for eternity. And so God bless you. Be encouraged, be strengthened. I know these are difficult times throughout the world, but God is still in control. God is still on the throne, and God has a special purpose and plan for your life. And so I encourage you to walk in it. God bless you. Again, I look forward to seeing you the next time. Be blessed. Realize that you are a spirit being. God bless you.